Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here as we start the week. Day after the Pelicans get a win, finally on the board in the win column in preseason. The good and the bad from that game against the Chicago Bulls on this edition of the podcast as well. I'm going to talk also the previous preseason game, the loss, unfortunately, to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that game has larger implications for the Pelicans than maybe this Bulls game does, because it was the injury to Rajon Rondo, now out kind of indefinitely with a groin injury, a sports hernia. I'm going to dive into that a little bit probably to start this episode here. And then we'll go into the play on the court and what to take away. But certainly, if the Oklahoma City Thunder game and this Bulls game are any indication, this loss of Rondo for what people are assuming might be a month or so can definitely hurt this team. They needed to get off to a hot start. I'm going to talk about why, particularly from the Bulls game and that time with OKC when he was out, of what this does to their offense and why maybe this diminishes, you know, their start to the season. We need to temper back some expectations. So we're going to dive into all of that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by SeatGeek. So let's start with the injury news first, and it came out shortly before the game that Rajon Rondo is suffering from a sports hernia, and, you know, there's no realistic timeline right now, and obviously this came as a bit of a shock because the day before, Alvin Gentry had said after the Oklahoma City game that, you know, he could have gone back in, they were going to hold him out of the Chicago Bulls game as a precaution. And then it comes out, well, now this is significant and this injury could be kind of bad. It must have been that he was reevaluated after, or they were able to wait till swelling went down or something like that to kind of take a look at what was going on. And the end result, though, is that Rajon Rondo is going to Philadelphia on Monday to see a specialist to determine if surgery is needed. Right now, you know, the speculation is that he'll be out for around a month, but this timeline could change. You know, sports hernia isn't the best phrase to use for this, because there's so many muscles in that core area that it could be virtually anything. We don't know yet until he gets looked at. We don't know what muscle group it is because it's such a general, like I said, term for everything. So we've got to kind of wait and see. But certainly it's disappointing. The Pelicans have had terrible luck with injuries. Someone has to get hurt before the season starts. We thought we were out of the woods after Solomon Hill went down. But Rajon Rondo going down might be even worse than Hill is. And Hill was a full-time starter last year that was really a key to this defense being ranked ninth in the league. So let's go back to the game with OKC and talk about that impact. And while the Pelicans started fine, it was after that injury, that the rest of the team started to struggle. Things were moving, there's cutters, there's passing, and then he goes out, Drew Holiday gets back kind of as the point guard and leading this offense, and it kind of hit a very rough stretch. I'm not sold on Drew Holiday as a full-time point guard. I know people, I'm fine with him moving to the two. And I was very critical of him last season because once he started playing with Davis and Cousins, one, he forgot how to shoot almost. And two, he just isn't as effective because that space isn't there. If you let him work off ball and he can kind of just roam free rather than being targeted, it works a little bit better. And you saw his turnover numbers were high right after the trade. They dropped once he paired in the backcourt with Tim Frazier. So when he's not running the offense fully, he's allowed to do other things, and he can be a factor in the game rather than being, you know, playing in his head, trying to make decisions would slow him down. Everyone says be more aggressive, move off ball, all of those different things, just be instinctual. And he's not able to do that when he's the lead guard, and it affects the rest of the offense. And we saw that against OKC, where after that injury, basically in the second quarter, the Pelicans scored 18 points, and that was that. And this game was kind of starting to get run away from it. And it took until both Davis and Cousins were out of the game for Holiday to wake up. He started to go on a bit of a run. He woke up and he finished with a good stat line of 11 points, I guess, you know, in 25 minutes on 13 shots, though, is not ideal. He was 3 of 9 from deep, but he started to play a little bit better after the fact and was able to get going. But that's when he's not on the court with Davis and Cousins. That's great that he can score points without them, but that does us no good. That does the Pelicans no good. Analyzing Drew Holiday and his play without Davis and Cousins on the court, and we can run those numbers. There's ways to do this and seeing how he plays. Yeah, he's going to put up really good stats. The problem is he's never going to play without these two guys. So if he's putting up good numbers and getting points and scoring and dishing assists without those two on the court, who cares? He's never playing without at least one of them on the court. So this is kind of a pointless thing to look at. That's why his night might look good and it might look okay, but overall he struggled, and he struggled mightily running the point with both those guys in, and that's a big concern, especially if Rondo is going to be out for a month. And then the question was, well, what will the Pelicans do when it comes to the Chicago Bulls? And in the backcourt alongside Drew Holiday, they started Etuan Moore to see if that was going to be a little bit better. And frankly, it was and wasn't. They put up 20 points in the first quarter with those two guys back there, and it picked up a little bit better. It became a little bit more tolerable once Ian Clark got in there, who, by the way, in the game against the Chicago Bulls here scored 7 points, showing he can do a couple different things, and he had a much better game. He also had 7 assists, so they let him take over the ball handling duties. And it allowed Holiday to play significantly better. He had 19 points in 30 minutes on 12 shots. And that's only getting to the line twice and only taking 2 3-point attempts. You can see it. It bears it out. Look at the shot charts. That he plays significantly better when he's not asked to be the main guy and the initiator in this offense. When that role went to Ian Clark, who should have been starting in the first place probably rather than Etuan Moore here, Holiday, you know, woke up. He started taking shots at the rim a little bit more. He was playing significantly better, and he's being more aggressive in cutting. But the bigger worry is if you don't get that kind of play out of a guy like Ian Clark, and you might not every night, by the way. Some of these guys are pretty inconsistent. I think we're starting to see that in preseason. This offense is very, very scary in terms of bad and how bad it can be. And I'm going to tell you why after the break here. Don't forget, today's edition of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by SeatGeek, and buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events, and with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. 2 taps, that's it. It's that simple. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I've done it for tons of Saints games since I found out about the app, put it on my phone. You can be in Champion Square, tailgating, waiting for the right price on tickets. 2 taps, boom, you're done. You're in the Superdome, there for kickoff. No problem whatsoever. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value. You can look at it and just know what a good buy is. Again, very simple. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, Locked On Pelicans listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase today and get closer to the action. So let's go back to the offense and talk a little bit about why things looked stagnant once Rajon Rondo was out and Jrue Holiday was left running. And one of the biggest things here is dribble penetration and kind of forcing the defense to react. That's the biggest thing here. While he's not a great shooter, he doesn't get to the free throw line nearly as much, and he's not, you know, the best defender like he once was. He can go out there and start dribbling and attacking and forcing the defense to move and kind of guard him and open things up from other players. There's a reason the Pelicans, both the coaching staff and other players, have raved about him. And when you see him doing this, dribbling and starting to drive only to stop and then dish, that's when cutters become active and they know it's their turn to move because he's starting to break down the defense. Jrue Holiday doesn't do that as well. It's something Tyreke Evans actually back in the day, as in like the past couple of years, including last season, wasn't horrible at and was able to do that. So that's certainly a good thing. And you can see Rondo doing it forces the defense to kind of play on their back heels and other guys can cut around. Ian Clark did his best impression to an extent of it, but he's no Rajon Rondo. And that's the issue here. Without this guy with the dribble penetration, attacking a defense in a very instinctual, aggressive way, and opening up those cutting lanes for other players, the Pelicans' offense starts to stagnate, and it's terrible and not what you want to see. Now, they kind of countered this when it started to happen against the Chicago Bulls. And I'm not going to go into like breaking down each game today, frankly, because they're pretty similar and we can kind of lump them all in together. In this game, though, against the Chicago Bulls, they tried to mix it up. This is where you saw more of that Chris Finch offense come into play. And, you know, he's working on things like shot selection, dribble handoffs. And I'm going to do an episode basically just talking about dribble handoffs probably this week. So I don't want to go into it too much there. But, you know, you're starting to see that Chris Finch offense we were hoping for that ran through Cousins. And he really started to play like it the other night, where he's the trailing guy, which he's always been. And this is what gives him a lot of open three-point shots, especially in transition. But certainly, then he's able to come down and get the ball and initiate the offense with a little bit of space and room. He actually had 9 assists against the Chicago Bulls because for a stretch in the second and third quarter, the offense was going through him. It allowed guys to cut around him a little bit more. Notice their 2 highest scoring quarters in that game against the Chicago Bulls were the second and third. They put up 29 points and 32 points respectively, largely because it was point guard Boogie. And teams had to account for him. He doesn't have that dribble penetration and drive that Rajon Rondo does, but because he's such a threat to actually drive from the perimeter, to shoot a 3, and so if he takes a step or two in, you get a little bit nervous. It opens up room for cutters to dart around, and he's such a good passer, particularly with his height too. That's one of it, is he can pass over guys, and he can see the court really well because he doesn't need to look around. He can see everything because he's so damn tall, and he's able to make these passes, pick out these cutters and get the Pelicans some easy offense that they were lacking. Again, 20 points in the first quarter, that was it. Then 29 points, then 32 points. You need to have someone in who's capable of being dynamic, I guess, you know, do something to force the defense to react. Other times when it was just Jrue Holiday and the two bigs and it wasn't going through Boogie, no one's moving. It's stalling, and that's where this team starts to die. You know, I didn't play basketball in high school, but I played lacrosse, and some of the offensive concepts, we ran a triangle offense, not the same type of thing, but the idea is kind of there. In one of the things they always said, if you're not moving, you're dead. Basically, you need to be moving, otherwise you're easy to defend, and it's like you're not even there helping anyone. The Pels fell into that. They fell into it against Oklahoma City once Rajon Rondo went down because they didn't really quite know how to counter it. And then when they did, they finally put up 29 points in that third quarter in the second preseason game against Oklahoma City. So you can see there's very big trends that are jumping out here. And I'm worried that if Rondo's going to be out for a month, and that's about at least what we're looking at here, do guys step up to consistently do this? That's a big question. Jrue Holiday and Etuan Moore in the backcourt, while Etuan Moore is a fine player, you know, you can see it when he tried to share some of the point guard duties, didn't work. He doesn't have that explosiveness. He doesn't have the step that kind of keeps defenders off balance. And he doesn't have the passing ability to absolutely make those precision passes that you need in that kind of system, which Rondo can still do. Holiday is okay. And Ian Clark showed the other night that, yeah, maybe he's capable of doing this as well. But I'm not ready to put my faith entirely in a guy like Ian Clark and Etuan Ward. Not going to put it in Drew Holiday right now. And this team isn't built to run that Chris Finch, Nikola Jokic, point guard boogie offense the entire time. They don't have the players necessarily for that, so that's a concern as well. This could be a rough start to the Pelicans all of a sudden through their season. Now you're without Solomon Hill, you're going to be without Rajon Rondo. This is entirely not what you want to see at all, and is a big concern. They need to get off to a good start. We've said that. There's no denying that. And now basically you're out two starters, so some people need to step up. And that's not going to be easy. You have to imagine that the Pelicans are going to look to bring in another point guard. Hopefully, maybe they get an exception. I'm not entirely sure. But this is, you know, more things change, more they stay the same. And this isn't a great start for the Pelicans season. But a guy like Ian Clark showed, maybe there's hope as long as they can weather this storm for the first month. And 500 ball is certainly considered a win through the first 12 games for the Pelicans. If they can do that, weather the storm, get Rondo back, or they pick up, you know, a veteran point guard, someone like Beno Udrih would probably be my choice. Maybe even a guy like Ty Lawson, if you bring him in and he works out and he looks pretty in shape and healthy, though there's some baggage and concerns about that that we don't need to go into until maybe he becomes a name that's thrown out there. But, you know, if one of those guys can handle everything for a little bit, and by all means, it's not like Rondo's an amazing player, someone should be able to step up, you would hope. We just don't know who it is, and I'm not going to pick one out to try and trust them just yet. But if they can do that, and they weather this storm for the first month and go 500, this team is still in prime position to try and make a run for the playoffs. Quickly, before I get to the other guys on the team and talking about the other players like Etuan Moore, Dante Cunningham, and the rest of the team and how they've played over these two preseason games, as well as some other trends that I've noticed, I do want to shout out the Locked On NBA podcast. And I've been doing that this week or last week, and I'm going to keep doing it this week because there are season previews up right now. 5 to 7, 8 minute little spots on every team. Tune into them. Just catch up around the league. Know some of the biggest storylines so that when these teams come to town, you're already the smartest fan of your friend group. You're the guy at the office who knows everything. You want to be that guy. That's a good person to know. Be that guy and do that by listening to the Locked On NBA podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
So another trend that jumps out, and this is a bit concerning, it also has to do with Rondo being out and that lack of dribble penetration and kind of a dynamic player, even though I don't want to really call that about Rondo, on the perimeter to initiate this offense is shot selection. Remember how excited we were after the first game where it was 5 mid-range shots? Well, that number in OKC was still pretty good. It jumped up to 11, so more than double, but let's not look at percentages here. But 11 mid-range shots in that kind of spots you don't really like. And some of those are just right outside the paint. It's okay. But even a long-range paint shot's not the greatest. You really want those looks and takes to be in the restricted area right at the rim, which is the highest percentage of going in, obviously, in the NBA every single year. That jumped up. A lot of that has to do with when there's a lack of cutters, a guy has the ball, they try and do isolation or what have you. They kind of stop, they hit a wall, they can't get past their defender, and they have to pull up from mid-range. Or the lane isn't as open to cut through, and you got to get the ball and then just pull up once you catch it about halfway to the rim. Not ideal, but it is what it is. That number ballooned for the Pelicans to 19 mid-range shots. So we go from 5 to 11 to 19. Not good. That's where you start to get bad when you're hitting close to 20. Not, you know, 11's one thing. You can maybe make a claim. Again, this has to do with the point guard role and not really having anyone who can kind of create for others because, again, Holiday's not that guy. I think we're learning that right now. And so, you know, it got better for the Pels in the second half. The first half, not as significantly more. So it did improve a little bit as guys kind of got a little bit more comfortable as Egan Clark stepped in and tried to right the ship a little bit. But that's a concern. You know, we're not going to get much more info out of this team when it comes to this Memphis game coming up next week because they're not playing the starters really in that time. Or if they do, it's going to be very, very short. So it's going to, you know, we're going to have to see if this is a trend that keeps up. Are they more like the first preseason game where that thing just looked gorgeous? Or is it more like the second and third where that number is just creeping higher and higher every single time? And obviously we hope it's going to be like the first preseason game. We need to talk a little bit about some of the other guys on the roster because this is a concern. And it's a concern we thought was going to be the case going into the season. None of this is a surprise. And if you thought otherwise, I don't know what to really tell you here. One of the biggest knocks on this Pelicans team has been their supporting cast. Yeah, they're deeper with guys like Egan Clark, Rondo, and everything. But again, these aren't necessarily guys that you can count on. Egan Clark has looked good in limited minutes, and he's playing particularly well. But some of these other guys haven't. Dante Cunningham against OKC put up a big zero. 0 points in 17 minutes. He only took 2 shots. You got to do more because you've got to be a threat on the court. Etuan Moore did better than Dante. He scored 1 point in the game, was 0 for 4. So he took 4 shots. So 2 starters almost for this team basically took 6 combined shots in, you know, 17 minutes, let's say. That's not good. No other way to put it. They are not doing enough. They're not hitting shots. They don't look really like they're aggressive and trying to find it, and you need everyone to be on this team. I know you want to defer to Davis and Cousins, and that's a thing you should do, particularly when Davis goes off like he did against the Chicago Bulls the other night to the tune of, by the way, 37 points. He went to the line. He did 37 points on 19 shots. He just shot 7 of 19, 37%, really poorly from there, but went to the line 23 times, hit 22 of those, and also chipped in 15 rebounds. That's a heck of a night for Anthony Davis. There's been other times when, and I'm getting off track here, where his shot wasn't falling, and you see him finish with 12 points, something like that. He didn't care. He was aggressive. He knew he was going to get fouled. He knew how to draw those fouls, and he went to the rim and attacked. Exactly what you want to see out of a guy whose shot isn't falling on the night, who still creates offense another way. Good on you, Anthony Davis. Since we're talking about the guys, against the Chicago Bulls, Cousins put up 22 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, came very close to a triple-double there. But going back to Dante and, say, Etuan Moore, Cunningham in the game against the Chicago Bulls, where he played 25, 26 minutes, 1 of 5 from the field, 2 points. Moore finished a little bit better. He had 9 points. He was 4 of 9 from the field, but he only finished with 3 points in the first half. He did grab 8 rebounds. There were a lot of long defensive rebounds. Cunningham, who's a starter at the small forward position, who's 6'8", 6'9", 6'8", grabbed 1 rebound. That's it. The production from Cunningham, you know, when people were saying he was the key to the team, and I'd prefer bringing him back over other guys at similar prices, he shows you he's barely above replacement level if he's not just a replacement level player. It's preseason. You don't want to base too much off of it. But if he's going against this really bad Chicago Bulls team and he can't do much, I don't know what you want me to say. You've got to base something off of this. So those guys have been very, very disappointing for the team. Tony Allen finally got to see a little bit of run out here. By the way, you know, people are asking why isn't he playing. He's a vet who's older. Everyone knows what you're going to get out of him. You don't need to worry about him whatsoever. 10 minutes, scored 2 points, but he is a good defender. You know he's going to be used situationally, and he's not going to be playing 20 minutes a game. I think he knows this. He accepts this. The biggest free agent guy that they brought in that you need to keep an eye on is certainly going to be Egan Clark, because he has played well for the Pelicans in this limited reserve role. He's probably going to get the start against Memphis, I would assume. I'm not entirely sure. But I hope he does, and I hope he's probably the starter at two guard or the point guard position on opening night for the Pelicans, because he just makes them that much more dynamic because he's willing to attack and he's known as being an aggressive player. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Tomorrow, we're going to talk more about these two games. I want to focus on the defense. We've been focusing on offense right now. We, you know, with Rondo going down, that's the easiest one to focus a little bit on. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. I want to talk about some of the other things we've seen, some trends, maybe some concerns, non-concerns throughout the game that we can talk a little bit about. Pace is up. I want to discuss that, why I think that's a good thing. So we'll have another jam-packed edition of Locked On Pelicans for you all. By the way, I'm going to pump this all this week. I did the preview, the Pelicans preview for the Gambit for bestofneworleans.com, the Gambit magazine, if you're familiar with that down here. That's going to be out this week. Pick up a copy if you can. Read it online once I get the link to it and once it's all published and everything. I will let you all know, certainly. That was a lot of fun to do, doing a different kind of Pelicans preview form, which should be a lot of fun. So thank you all for listening. Pelicans got a win. At least they're going to have one win in preseason. I think that's a good thing. So we'll be back with you all tomorrow. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake. Thank you all for listening.